Let's all read with fear and trembling Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. Okay. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us with a new day.
Amen.
As a church, as a congregation, as a body of Christ, we all rejoice today.
Amen.
Because, oh Lord, it's a special day.
Yes,
one of our dear brethren, our dear brother Elijah, is going to be baptized today.
Amen.
In the name above all names.
Amen.
The name before every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess.
Amen.
Oh Lord, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day in our
Amen.
Lives. Thank you, Lord, for this blessed day for our church.
Amen.
Lord, today is special because, oh Lord, we all gathered in thy name.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this place where we all can gather. We thank you for the roof under which we all can gather. It is not this building, oh Lord. It is thy name, oh Lord.
Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness and your greatness is unsearchable,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we found your grace and mercy, although your greatness is unsearchable, but you showed your grace to us and you revealed the purpose of thy word in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we are part of the word that was spoken by your mouth, O Lord. We are part of the body of Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord, we are part of thy plans, the divine plans. Lord, we bless this day, we bless this moment because, O Lord, we are with you. And we believe in the mighty name of Jesus,
Amen.
We all will be soaked in thy Holy Spirit's guidance.
Amen.
O Lord, we pray and we sanctify this place.
Amen.
We sanctify every one of us, our thoughts, our minds, our everything in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus which bringeth the victory for all of us
Amen.
From the original sin. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We are standing here in humility and sincerity, Lord. Fill our heart with servanthood, fill our heart with obedience, so that, Lord, we may move closer and closer with Thee, we may walk with Thee humbly, O Lord. Lord, I pray, guide us and control our spirit, that Your name shall be glorified. We are here to beat our flesh, to come victorious in spirit, O Lord. Lord, I pray, O Father, as one body of Christ, we are all here, overseas brethren joining us from different countries, but Lord, we are all united in spirit, although we are all separated by the body. But Lord, we are all here as one spirit because we are standing on the promises of God. We are all standing firm in one faith, the unity of faith, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you called all of us to build the world together. Lord, we pray, examine our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you open our eyes to see your works. You help our mind, our heart, our soul and spirit that we may receive thy revelation. O Lord, we pray that you open our ears to listen to your soft, still-spoken voice, O Lord. Lord, we completely surrender our everything today, O Father. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, take complete control of all of us. And Lord, I pray, I surrender myself as an empty vessel before thee, O Father,
Amen.
That you fill myself so that, O Lord, I can share the words of life to my dear family,
Amen.
To my dear brethren, including me, O Lord. We are all walking together in this narrow path.
Amen.
Lord, strengthen us in spirit, make us wiser in spirit, and make us humble, meek, and lowliness of spirit, because, O Lord,
Amen.
It's a privilege what we have received, the greatest reward of our life, where the wise and prudent of this world are searching outside, but Lord, we found it because of thy grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for what we have today and what we have right now. And Lord, help us to be the prisoners of Christ, O Lord. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be all seated. God bless you all, my dear, precious brethren. We thank the Lord for this beautiful day. I was really glad when I woke up this morning knowing that Elijah is going to be baptized. He's just 13 years old. Last night when I was praying, he's too young. How can he understand how can he can appreciate what the Lord has done for him, for his family. But when I was praying, I was reminded when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was young, speaking in the synagogue, everybody was surprised by his wisdom. He made everyone to be silent because he was growing in the knowledge, in the stature, because he was obedient and willing and learning. And the Lord's Spirit was there. There is no age when the Lord decides to use us. Amen. Anyone can do anything as long as we are humble and willing and obedient and listening to his voice. So we thank the Lord for this wonderful day, and we remember Brother Elijah in our prayers. And today I thank the Lord. Last few days was quite hard for me as a father, as a husband. We had a lot of issues in my family, health issues. I slipped and fell down very badly, but thank God I landed with my right elbow. As you know, my left spine had a degeneration issue. I thank God I landed safely. And our little son, Yoshua, was also injured. He had some bleeding in his knee. And as you can see, my family is not here. Hazel is not well. She has a very severe tonsils infection in her throat. But thank God, everything is good. Yesterday we were singing, dancing, and praising, praying. We really felt, you know, like these things can't do anything to us. Amen. Amen. All this pain, sicknesses, attacks, these are just, you know, like fake attempts to see how we react. But the Lord says, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that cannot be broken by praises. Any walls of Jericho can just demolish just by singing praises to his name. Amen. We don't even have to say, Lord, I want this, I want this. Just we can utter his name, claiming the power and authority that we have in his name, and the Lord will take care of the rest. Amen. We thank the Lord for everything. And before I share the word of God, I just want to start by saying, all of us are trying to be a witness to Christ. Amen. Because the Lord has showed who he is, and the Lord has revealed his truth, and the Lord opened our eyes, gave a new heart, opened our ears, because we can't listen if we don't open our ears.
Amen.
It's not just the ears, you know, it's the conscience, the mind that processes everything. And the Lord has done everything that we may receive him, and that's why we say our salvation is a gift from God. Amen. And now we are all standing on the foundation of God because we are blessed. When I was thinking, Lord, why did you save all of us at different time period of our life? Some received Jesus when they are so young, and some received the Lord or revealed the truth was revealed to them when they are very old. That is a, you can see it's very unique, the way the Lord deals with people is very unique. Even the thief who was crucified next to Jesus, the Lord said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Just before the last breath of his life, the Lord saved him. So the Lord tells us that he is the creator, the Alpha and Omega, and he owns us because we belong to him. So he deals with us uniquely one to one. So when we say, Lord, I want to witness you in my life, I want to witness your work in my life to others, we need to understand what is the true definition of witness. So when I was praying, I was blessed with some thoughts in my heart a few nights before. If you go to a courtroom, you will see there are five different people. One, the person who committed crime, usually on the left side. The person who is a victim, usually on the right side. I do not know about in this country, but usually in a courtroom, they have certain arrangement. The judge will sit in the center. There is a victim, there is a criminal, and there are two advocates, one to defend the criminal, one to defend the victim. And after these people, there are people who are like audience. They just simply sit and watch what's happening. And even that audience, there are three group of people. One related to the crime criminal, one related to the victim, and one group, they are not related to anyone. They just come here to just, you know, like pass the time and see what's going on. They are very curious about what's going on around. So in a courtroom, we have an advocate who pleads for his client. or the person whom he is working for or whom paid him to do the work for him. And we have another advocate who also defends his own client. So let's forget about who is the criminal, who is the victim, but let's just bundle all into one. We have an advocate and we have a person standing to be questioned, to be investigated, to be maybe judged. And there is a judge who is just sitting and listening to everyone. He's listening to all the words coming from everyone, whereas the audience cannot speak, they will just sit and watch. If they want to speak something, they need to come forward and given the time and authority and the allocated time to come and say something. So here, even the person who commits the crime, he can bring someone to defend him. Even the person who truly commits the crime, he can still have people sitting in the crowd who can really watch for him, that release him, release him. Could be the power of his money or influence or whoever, maybe he's a very famous person. So in that courtroom, beyond all of these people, the most important person who will decide the verdict or the final decision of the case is the witness. The judge will always call for, give me a proof, a witness, so that I can assess, I can analyze, I can evaluate what's happening here. If he committed crime, show me the proof. If you are the victim, what is the proof? Or who is the witness that saw what happened between you two? The word witness, it travels all the way from Garden of Eden until the very end of Revelation, because John was a witness of what the Lord Jesus revealed to him. The entire Revelation chapter could have been something that John found it in the seashore, was written by the Lord himself. He just came and published, you know, to the entire world. It doesn't work that way. When the Lord judges the people in flesh, he do everything through people who are in the flesh. That witness, the double-edged sword which can cut into soul and spirit, which can cut into life and death, the witness plays a very, very important role, because a witness can testify, can glorify God's name. Every single creation of God, what we see in the nature, the rainbow, sky, sun, moon, mountains, the purest form of creation, they all witness the glory of God in one way or another. If we don't see it, we can't see it. If you go to a beach, if you just sit for, let's say, a few hours, after some time, you will tend to question yourself, how come the music of the sea wave is so beautiful, so soothing, it brings calm to our heart. How come? Who plays this music? Who? If you look at when the thunder hits, it actually brings some warning, right? You are sleeping, suddenly you will wake up because the thunder, it actually tells you that, it actually shakes you, like, you know, it shakes your consciousness just to see what's going on around. It's a different noise, it's a different sound. Whereas the sea waves, it is a different sound, it will make you sleep. So the nature can show you the light that you can see, can show you, can make you listen to the voice that can speak a beautiful sound. You didn't create it, but someone created it, everything. Even the water, when it falls from the fountain, when it rains, you can see there are different types of noise when the water can make. That's why in Revelation we say his voice was like sound of many waters, right? Many waters. Could be ocean, could be fountain of life, could be the rain, could be the teaching rain, could be anything. The water plays an important role. Even the baptism, we believe, we go inside the water, we die in sin, we die in flesh, we come out newborn as a new creation in spirit. Water plays an important role. Everything witnesses Christ, for whom all things created, for whom all things were made, for him, by him, in him.
Amen.
Now the question is, if we want to be the witness of Christ, the difference between us and the creation of nature is, we were bound to original sin. We were bound to death. Darkness entered our hearts and we were carnal. How can a carnal being with evil thoughts, with sin all over the mind, soul, body, everything, how can we witness Christ? You cannot. We cannot. Because witness means a sample. Witness means that if you speak to this person, you know who is his friend. If you listen to him, you can feel how good his friend is. When he say, Lord, I want to witness you, I want to go and speak to people, spread gospel of peace, there are important lessons, spiritual lessons the Lord can teach us from Genesis all the way to Revelation when it comes to the word witness. We start from the Garden of Eden, about what happened, how nakedness entered, and how the Lord told them to go out of the Garden of Eden, and he sealed everything. And we read in New Testament, the life is hid in Christ. And in Old Testament, the Lord chased Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, and he sealed the garden. And now we can't find the life. We believe him, we do the works of him, and he will show you the life, and he will reveal things to us. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ himself is called the faithful witness, for whom all things created, he is the Alpha and Omega, which is, which was, and which is to come, we have to learn how come the Lord identify himself as the faithful witness, not one of the, not a faithful witness, but the faithful witness. From the beginning of creation, from Adam, you could see the lifespan of God's people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. The lifespan keep on reducing, and Moses lived until 120 years. Then we are up to maybe average 80 years here, some countries 60 years. The lifespan has been reducing. So there are two things that let's focus prayerfully: living witness and faithful witness. If I am a living soul, as we call Adam, is the first Adam is a living soul, and the last Adam is a quickening spirit. If I am a living soul, I can only be a living witness until I live. When I die, I cannot go and witness in the courtroom because I died. My witness doesn't hold any value here. If I am just a living soul, the works of me, let's say I build this wall, for instance, as a man. And I build this wall, and people come and ask, let's say some brother who is my friend, they ask, who built this wall? Then he say, oh, look at this brother, he built this wall. Then when I died, if the same person come and ask him, who built this wall? He will say, no, the person who built the wall, he died. There is no living witness. Let's talk about faithful witness. Apostle Paul, he wrote letters to churches, right? He did things that no one has ever done before. He is the greatest apostle of all time. Because the knowledge and wisdom, the truth and revelation the Lord blessed him is so much that people were chasing him to get his wisdom and knowledge from wherever they can meet him. Apostle Paul also died. But the work of Apostle Paul is not the works of Apostle Paul. He put himself to stand in the gap so that God's work can be carried out through him as a vessel. By doing so, he put his works in something that cannot be bound to time. And now we are studying his words, which is so deep, after thousands of years, and we will study until the word is fulfilled completely. So, the living soul, the body of Apostle Paul, died. But the works, the fulfillment of God's work that was carried out through Apostle Paul cannot die, can never die. Because the manifestation of God's word and the fulfillment of his word is executed by his works. The Lord says, if you believe me, it doesn't mean anything if you do not do the works of me, the works of my Father. That is the true definition of belief. But the world where we live, the word believe is limited. Which means, do you believe this light is white color? I say, yes, I believe. Which means, you can say, no, this brother believes this light is white color. Because I can see. But this is not the same belief that what Jesus said. Yes, if we believe him, we will walk with him closely, humbly. But the word believe Jesus said, he also said, if you believe me, you will do the same works of me, even greater works than me. How come the Alpha and Omega, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the name before everything shall bow, he comes and tells you and me, you can do greater works than what I did in those 3 years' time. Because he knew he will die, descend into Sheol, and preach the soul, and ascend again, resurrect, and receive the all power and dominion authority over everything, heaven, over the earth, under the earth, and he will send his comforter. And when we are all anointed by the Lord's Holy Spirit, yes, indeed, we can do even greater things than what was done during the 3 years of the ministry. Because the Lord says, I am going to do all the works through you. My yoke, my burden is light and easy, because you, me, are not going to do the work. Now, if we really want the Lord to work through us, calling ourselves as I am a faithful witness of the Lord is very important. And we also cannot call if our life doesn't truly witness Christ. So today, by the grace of God, we shall study and meditate on God's word, focusing on the faithful witness which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 1 and the attributes of our walk with the Lord and why it is very important that a living witness, a faithful witness, yes, you can say both are same. It is true, it is same only if we worship God in spirit, only if we praise Him, love Him, do everything according to His will in spirit, then the living witness will become a living witness in His life. It cannot die. Because the life that the Lord gave to us, it is not bound to time. So, we will read the verses prayerfully and we believe in Jesus' name the Lord will teach us the living witness and the faithful witness, although the world can see it as two different things, but actually it is one. If we remain circumcised from the flesh to the spirit, even Brother Gant's books, it is keep on distributing, but the Lord took him 1 month ago, but he, the works of our dear pastor, no one can stop. No power in this world can stop the work the Lord had done through Brother Gant. No matter whoever tries, no one can stop. Because it is not Brother Gant's work. He just put himself like Apostle Paul and he completely surrendered himself to the Lord. Lord, here I am. I stand in the gap. Take me and do whatever you want. And that whatever is what all the books that we all read in some corner, and we are all gathering here in one faith, because the Lord said, your eyes are blurred, you can't see my revelation, don't worry, my servant is here, my humble servant is here, I will inspire him to write the books, and the books will come and open your eyes. It did, amen? We thank the Lord, it truly did. I was searching for 20 years, couldn't find, but the Lord revealed things. Those are, I would say, if you don't call it as heavenly riches, I don't know what are called heavenly riches. To us, these are heavenly riches. No one can take it away from us. Unless someone come and take a rod and hit me in the head, I may forget, but still my spirit man can never forget. So the Lord has made all of us as a living witness, as a faithful witness, because His word is living in us. The person in whom the light was hid, He Himself called the faithful witness. Now you should understand why we need to be a faithful servant, because He was a servant. The Bible said, when He washed the feet of the disciples, Jesus said, if you want to be a master, be a servant. We are all here to serve one another in Christ, not out Christ, in Christ. And He was a servant, so we are all saying, I want to be a faithful servant. The Bible said, He is the faithful witness, so we are all saying, Lord, I want to be a faithful witness. Because our ultimate purpose of this life on this earth is to live a life where the Lord can perfect you to be like Him. When the perfection is completed, there is no you, but it is only Christ left in you. Everything is gone. Your body, your spirit, all have been dominated, overpowered by the Lord's Spirit. And that perfection, it tells us, Lord, you are the faithful witness, so I am also going to be a faithful witness for you. So let's look at this. I prepared this to summarize the very important keywords that we studied last week. We just left, we finished last week's sermon half. Today we will complete. Please look at these words very carefully, Revelation chapter 1 has these important words that reveals Jesus Christ himself, by himself. And the words that were spoken to John, extremely important, so that we can draw the line from Genesis all the way to Revelation last chapter. Jesus is the faithful witness. He is the first and the last. His head and hair are white as wool, like white as snow. His eyes were like flame of fire. From his mouth went forth the sharp two-edged sword, nothing but the word spoken. His voice was like sound of many waters. He had seven stars in his right hand, seven candlesticks in the midst of, and the girdle talks about the golden girdle, and seven spirits before his throne. That is how the chapter begins with. And his countenance was like the sun shineth in his strength. And finally his feet was like fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. And the chapter ends with the important words spoken by the Lord himself. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. Not just a mighty God. The Almighty. Nothing less, nothing more. The Almighty is the Almighty. You can see, you cannot define eternity, you cannot define Almighty. The Lord reveals himself in all his words. You can say, Lord, I don't know. You can only say, Lord, I believe that the eternity is unsearchable. This particular chapter, the word the faithful witness, I want all of us to focus on a few things. If I witness something happen in someone's life, and I go and tell people, hey, do you know, this sister, she was very ill, she was supposed to go to a surgery, but she went for a prayer meeting and miraculously the Lord healed her, and now she is completely healed. So the person who is saying this to his friends, maybe just want to make an interesting conversation, without his knowledge, he is actually witnessing Christ, because he is telling something to his carnal mind. Maybe he is talking something more curious, but actually he is telling something that happened to someone, which he has no role to play in it. Because he was not sick, he is not the one who healed, but he just witnessed something to someone, what something happened, so he became a witness because he was there when it happened. Because he saw that something that happened. Now that something can be a crime, can be a blessing, can be a healing, can be a miracle, can be a creation, can be anything. But the person who witnessed can be a false witness. Amen? Can be a faithful witness, can be a true witness. There are three types here. Simple witness, as the world sees, let's forget about it, is carnality. Faithful witness, true witness, false witness. You may think we can say false witnesses in carnality. Even in spirit, we can be a false witness. Because there is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error. Remember? And we can be a false witness, even we can say, Lord, I praise you, worship you in spirit. But the true witness is something impossible if the Lord is not revealing his truth to us. The word truth, there is only one truth. Amen? There is only one truth. And there is only one type of true witness who knows, who received that truth. So, living witness, faithful witness, false witness, true witness, there are different types, but everything assembles under the roof of the faithful witness, because the Lord reminds us, he is the only person. Yes, God is spirit, we worship him in spirit, but he is the only person who is the faithful witness of all things that happened, that is happening, that is about to happen. He is the only one who can say, I am the faithful and true witness. No one can say that, because we all have a limited time in this earth. Although we believe all things happen, but we did not witness, we did not see. But the Lord says, blessed is he who believes, still he hasn't seen. So we believe. So we are all blessed. Amen. Let's read Revelation chapter 22 verse 20. You can keep this until I tell you to stop sharing this thing. Revelation chapter 22 verse 20. I read, this is the last two verses of the love letter that is given to us. Amen. The last two verses. Chapter 20, verse 20 and 21. 22. Chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He testifieth all things. If you are a witness, you testify something. That I saw this, I was there, I was part of it. If you are part of it, what happened? You testify. Now let's hold on to this. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. 1-4. We started this sermon with this verse. We read this once again. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Faithful and true witness. The true witness. Amen. So now, let's just stop sharing the screen. Last week, we stopped in the middle when we were studying about what happened in the prophet Samuel, King Saul, King David. You know, in 1 Samuel, we were going through the conversation between Saul and Samuel. And after that, there is another conversation between the Lord and Samuel. So let's go back and let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Let's read from chapter 15. Chapter 15, we will read the verses from last week. We stopped at verse 31. So we read from verse 32. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32. So this is when Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul went and worshipped the Lord with him, because Saul invited Samuel, come, let's go and worship thy Lord. Amen. This is where we stopped last week. Verse 32, then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag the king of Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. He defends himself. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made woman childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. Verse 35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. That was the last time Samuel was with Saul. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. This is King James. In New King James, I believe it is regretted. Is it? Regretted. The Lord felt bad that he made Saul as a king over Israel. Now, Samuel, you all remember, Samuel was the replacement of Eli, because the flame in the temple of the Lord put off, and the Lord called Samuel to stand in the gap, and the Lord anointed Samuel to be the prophet. So Samuel knows what happens when you do something against the Lord, because he himself was used by the Lord to replace someone who disobeyed the Lord. Eli was replaced by Samuel by the Lord. And Samuel mourned for Saul because he knew when he told the king Saul, "You disobeyed the Lord, so the Lord rejected you." He said, "The Lord rejected you." When he said that, he knows whatever is going to come to pass, it shall come to pass. So he mourned that what happened to King Saul. Not just that, it is not him alone mourning for Saul. The Bible says the Lord regretted that he made Saul as king over Israel. Those who believe in free will, those who think that everything is already done, programmed, it will just go as planned, why the Bible says the Lord regretted that he made Saul as a king over Israel? He also regretted when he destroyed the whole earth with a flood, when he saved only the Noah and his family. We have a very deep revelation that has been given to us by the Lord, and he reveals more things in more excellent way. There is no end to it, because this is the fountain of life. No matter how many years we spend, the Lord will teach us new things every day from this fountain of life. So now Samuel is mourning for King Saul, and he did not see him ever after that last incident. Let's move on to chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord." Verse 2 is something very important, because Samuel has been a very obedient and sincere prophet for the Lord. But as he was mourning, when the Lord told him, "Stop mourning, do the work and go to Jesse, and I have provided a king among his sons." The Lord said that if Samuel was in his normal self, in his spirit, not mourning, not burdened, he would have simply obeyed without even thinking how, what, when. He would have simply said, "Here I am, Lord, I am going." But he is asking, "Lord, if I go, then if Saul hears me, he'll kill me." Don't he know that the Lord knows that? The Lord knows that. But still Samuel is asking it, because he is mourning, and the Lord knows, okay, you are mourning. Because he is mourning, his eyes were blurred. That is why when the Lord said, if Samuel was in spirit, he would have identified who is David, who is going to be anointed. But the Samuel was mourning for Saul, and that is clearly visible in verse 2, because he questioned the Lord, "What if Saul kills me?" This should remind you of what happened to Prophet Elijah, who was running from Jezebel. He was scared of his life. But Samuel was not scared of his life, but he was actually burdened, and he was actually very much confused. He was not in his own self. And when the Lord sent Samuel, and verse 3 says, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will shew thee with what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." The Lord said, "I will tell you whom you will anoint." When Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. They trembled at his coming. They all honored him and respected him, because the Lord was with him. He was an anointed one. "And comest thou peaceably?" They were scared, because you know why? He just recently killed Agag into pieces. He is a prophet, but still the Lord used him to, you know, kill Agag into pieces, where Agag thought, "No, the death." He said the word, "Oh, surely the bitterness of death is past." But Samuel said, no, let me decide that. And you know, he just killed him into pieces. So the people of Bethlehem, they said, "Comest thou peaceably? Are you coming in peace?" They were trembled at the coming of Samuel. And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. That time, you remember, David was not there. The Bible recorded very clearly, David was not there because he was like with the managing his sheep. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. When he said that, let's remember, the Lord told him already in verse 3, the Lord said, thou shalt anoint unto him whom I name unto thee. The Lord said very clearly, I will tell you the name. But still Samuel was impatient because he was not in his mind, he was not in his own self, he was troubled. He thought, okay, he is the son, looks elder, firstborn, and looks stronger, maybe. So Samuel thought, he is the first one. He said, surely, surely the Lord anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The Lord did not explain why he refused him. He said, I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now you can see how weak we are as a witness if we call ourselves, I'm a witness, I'm a witness. Our witness means nothing if the witness is based on our mind, on our eyes, and what we see, if it is not revealed to us by the Lord himself. The Lord said, your witness, what you see, is not right. Yes, he could look taller, he is the firstborn, but I don't care. I have refused him. But the Lord did not say, that the last son is going to be the anointed. He didn't say that. He just stopped there. And Samuel is getting the lesson from the Lord in chapter 16 and chapter 15. Because of what happened to King Saul, Samuel is not recovered because he himself was a replacement of Prophet Eli. Verse 8, it says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Now you can see there is a change in Samuel's approach. Neither that the Lord has chosen him. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither had the Lord chosen this. Then again, Jesse made all seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen this. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are yet all thy children? Are you sure? And he said, there remained yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. I'm not going to sit down until he comes here because I have a job to do. I am here to fulfill what the Lord has told me. He is standing firm now. He was mourning just a few moments before. He can see what's going to happen. Remember, Samuel was very young when he was called by the Lord. Samuel was very young when he replaced the prophet Eli. He was very young. And now he knows what happened to his own life. Now he can reconcile what is going to happen now. And he says, Jesse, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. From 15 verse 32 to 16 verse 12, you could see a complete changeover of Prophet Samuel. And also, the Lord who regretted for King Saul, in just one verse, in the next verse, he was giving advice to Samuel because he knows what to do, but he regretted for what happened to Saul. Because he is a God of compassion, he's a father of mercies, he is love. Amen. So now, I just want to look at this in two perspectives. Samuel is a witness what happened from chapter 15 to chapter 16. Amen. He was also a witness to what happened to the prophet Eli. He is also a witness of what happened to King Saul. He is also a witness what happened to the King David. He was there in all three important characters, you know, that we read in the Bible. Samuel was a witness of the mighty works of the Lord. And Samuel was mourning, he was weak, but the Lord had to come down to bring him back to his senses. He cannot be a faithful witness if there was no support guidance or blessing from the Lord to bring him back to the solid rock. So, can we say Samuel was the faithful witness of this particular incident? No. He was a faithful witness. But the witness is the Lord himself. Because he is the only one who can say, same yesterday, today and forever. We can't say that until we go and completely get lost inside him. So this is the beautiful transition of King Saul, punished by the Lord, warned by the prophet Samuel. Samuel mourned, went to the valley, the Lord lifted him up and he gave him a new king in David. And we know what happened in the life of David, we will go deeper later. But here, prophet Eli was replaced by Samuel, King Saul was replaced by David. So there are two replacements. There is only one faithful witness to this, because he is the one who made everything to happen, who allowed everything to come to pass. Samuel is a witness of the Lord. He was actually witnessing what's going on. But he himself fell, but the Lord lifted him up. Now let's keep this here and let's go and finish what we stopped in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we read from verse 4 so that we can remind ourselves with the complete context. When the Lord visited Saul directly, personally, like the way he called Samuel, like the way he talked to his people face to face, one to one, like Moses, the Lord dealt with Saul personally, like it was a personal experience. He didn't send someone to go and give a new heart to Saul. Like Samuel was there to speak to King Saul and the Lord gave him a new heart. But this Saul, who was persecuting Christians, met Jesus personally. And the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why you persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." This also reminds when Samuel told King Saul, "Go and wait until I come and tell you what to do." There is a waiting period. There is a period of being obedient. And Saul literally followed that. Even here, he also followed that, what was said to him. And we go to verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." He called his name. And Ananias responded properly, "Behold, I am here, O Lord." Same as what Isaac said to his father, what Abraham said to the Lord, "Here I am." Because the Lord said, just call your name. He didn't say anything else. So he just said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas," in the house of Judas, "for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and he might receive his sight." The Lord said what is supposed to be done to Ananias. Ananias was very sincere when he entered the Lord, "Lord, behold, here I am." But similar to the response from Samuel, he again questioned the Lord. You see, here the Lord said, "Go to the house of Judas, you will find someone and go and anoint him." Same as he said, "Go to the house of Jesse, I have chosen one from his sons to be the king, go and anoint him." But Samuel questioned, "Oh Lord, if I go there, King Saul will send people to kill me." But here, Ananias had no such problem, because Ananias has a different problem. He says, "Lord, I have heard of many by this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Don't you think that he completely forgot that the Lord knows everything, the Lord has planned everything, he purposed everything in his heart, there is no one can stop him. But still Ananias was trying to be he was actually uncovering his lack of understanding, and the Lord did not punish him, but the Lord said, go thy way, same as what he told Prophet Samuel. I'm not here to judge or assess people the way you see people, because I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the spirit man. I look at the purpose that he has, purpose in his heart. The word is spoken. What Saul did, what Samuel did, what Ananias did, you can see a very strong similarity. And when the Lord said that, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, for to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He said this to Ananias. He did not say this to Paul. He did not say this to Saul, who became a Paul. So Ananias was a witness of the Lord's plan for Apostle Paul, because the Lord told him. And it was written here. Now we are all reading. Because Ananias was a witness of his lack of understanding and the Lord's grace on him to understand what the Lord is doing, like what happened to Saul, Samuel and David. Here, the difference is, the Lord replaced King Samuel with King David. Amen. But in Acts, the Lord replaced Saul to a new creation of Apostle Paul. In the Old Testament, a man was replaced by a man. A flesh was replaced by a flesh. But in the New Testament, the flesh of Saul disappeared and the Lord created a new spirit man, new creation, Apostle Paul. And Ananias witnessed it, because Ananias saw the other Saul. Whatever he said was not wrong. He was telling the truth. But it is not the true witness, because it is not the truth. Until that moment, that truth became gone. There is no Saul. None of us here can talk about what Saul did anymore. Because that is not the Saul we knew. He became the Apostle Paul. He is a new creation. So whatever Ananias said, can we say Ananias was a true witness? No. Because what he said is not truth. God changed Saul into Paul. But the Lord regretted that he saw what happened to King Saul, who disobeyed his word, who rejected the Lord. And the Lord said, I regretted that I made Saul as a king of Israel. And he told Samuel, okay, stop mourning. I already regretted already. Stop mourning. I'll give you a new king, a young one from the family of Jesse. But to Ananias, he didn't say all these things, because Ananias was not mourning. He was actually scared of Saul. But the Lord said, go thy way. He will be a chosen vessel for me. He's giving him the assurance. When the word was spoken, Ananias knows it shall come to pass. That is why in the next verse, Ananias went his way. Verse 17, he entered into his house and putting his hands on him said, you see how he called Saul. Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Because Ananias knows, if we all share the same faith, if we serve the same master, I can call you as a brother. Because Saul has already received the Lord Jesus even before Ananias met him. Saul encountered Jesus Christ in his life personally, and Lord said, Saul, Saul, why you persecute me? Then Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. He didn't send someone to say he is Jesus. He came to him personally and said, I am Jesus. So Saul has received spiritual understanding. He is just blinded. He was waiting for Ananias to come and anoint him to receive the Holy Spirit, so that he can receive his new set of eyes. Not the old eyes, new set of eyes. But King Saul, he received new heart, but he lost it. He hardened his heart and he disobeyed the Lord. So let's always remember, in these two beautiful fulfillment of God's word, not just stories, Samuel was a witness of what happened. Ananias was a witness of what happened to Saul changing into a new creation of Paul. Now, let's remember Abraham and his son Isaac. This is where we started last week. Do you question yourself when you read the chapter of certain important events in the Bible? Actually, we can question as a Lord, I want to know why. I want to know why Abraham went with two people. I want to know why you brought three people to the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to know when you were transfiguring in the mount, why there were people to witness what happened. He said, don't tell this to anyone until it is fulfilled. Why? Why the Lord had always people around him to see things that they were not supposed to see, but he said, you saw this, but wait until the time comes, you can tell this to others. Why? The witness the Lord has used throughout the Bible, you could see there are false witness, true witness, faithful witness, witness who lie, witness who can die for the Lord. John the Baptist is the voice, it's called the voice in the wilderness, right? He was beheaded for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was offended because Jesus did not see him in the prison. He can do that because he is also in the flesh. He was. If you remember the beautiful friendship of John the Baptist and Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ himself, when Mary went near to Elizabeth, you know, you could see the baby was, you know, jumped in joy in the womb. In spirit, you know, there was a spiritual connection. So when John the Baptist couldn't see the face of Jesus, he was a bit offended why he didn't come to see me. Because of the love and the friendship. He just squeezed out the very last flesh of his flesh and just, you know, threw it. And that selling the flesh, cut off and throw the flesh is his offense that Jesus did not come and see him. Then he was beheaded as a true witness for Christ. He was killed. So there will be a witness for all the works of the Lord. People will see, will continue to pass on to the generation. But there is one faithful and true witness, and the Lord himself. Amen. Now, we have studied what happened to Saul, Samuel, and David, and Ananias, Saul to Paul. Now, let's remember and read this one last time. Abraham and Isaac, Genesis 22. Let's read this once. Genesis chapter 22. And we go to verse. We read where Abraham told those people, we are going for yonder and worship. Yes. We read verse 4. This is when Abraham started his journey to fulfill what the Lord commanded him. Okay, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son. But the Lord told him, just sacrifice his son. But Abraham took two of his young men to support him, and a clay of the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. When he saw the place, he knows what to do. He knows whom should go with him. When the direction has been given, Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He just told the young men, the two young men, just abide ye here, me and my son, we are going to yonder and worship. Can Abraham lie to his servants just to hide his pain? He cannot, because he knows that Isaac was a promise from God. And he knows God cannot take back his promise. And he knows what the Lord was speaking, whatever the Lord has spoken, which shall come to pass. So Abraham, although he was having this pain and burden in his heart to go with his son, but still he knows that something is going to happen on that mount, because what the Lord told me and what the Lord asked me now, there is something that is going to be unfolded in the mountain. So he told the two young men, we are going to yonder and worship, just wait here. And he went with Isaac, and we discussed on this conversation between the son and the father. Isaac says, Father, and Abraham says, here I am, my beloved son. Then Isaac asks, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham says, God will provide. That's it. There is a big difference between how the way Abraham responded to the Lord, then how Samuel responded, then how Ananias responded. It was a similar instruction given to them, go and do this, everything else God will take care of. But the questions come from us when we are not faithful to whom said things to us. If you are really faithful, you will just close your eyes and walk by faith. But if you are not faithful, you will open your eyes, oh, King Saul may send people to kill me. Oh, this all was actually persecuting Christians. This is not walking by faith. This is walking by sight. But Abraham, he didn't question anything. He didn't ask anything. He just obeyed and he just walked. And the father, like son, and Isaac, he asked one question, a genuine question, and Abraham answered even more genuinely. As we say, a good answer is a reward for a good question. I like the statement. If you really want to ask someone, make sure that something is something worthy enough to be answered in a good way. So Abraham answered in a beautiful way because the question Isaac asked was a beautiful question. Because Abraham, by answering his son, by answering the question of his son, Abraham proclaimed his faith that what is about to happen. God will provide himself a sacrifice of lamb. He said, and he declared, he uttered the words from his thoughts. Because he uttered the words in faith, actually it came to pass. Amen. So, in these three scenarios, Abraham, Isaac, Samuel, Saul, David, Ananias, Saul, Paul. We have witness in all three. We have witness in all three. Before I talk about certain things, let's refresh our minds about the family tree from Abraham all the way to Judah and Joseph. I prepared this. I hope it is also readable. It's text size 60. Can you please open the family tree? And share the screen with overseas person. Hope all you can read this. I just want all of us to focus this, because in Revelation, the last chapter, the Lord Savior Jesus identifies himself one last time by saying, I am the root and offspring of Jesse. Because David played a beautiful role in God's plan, and the Lord always rejoiced in identifying himself back to the family of David. And here we say from Abraham, I have highlighted the key people in red boxes so that we know the line. Maybe we can call it as the bloodline, the royal bloodline until the Lord's word fulfilled in New Testament. Abraham, he had one promised son, Isaac, with his wife Sarah. And we also know Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. And Abraham also took wife Keturah, who gave him 6 more children. So, the text is small, but I'll send you later. Isaac married Rebecca, and he had 2 sons, Esau and Jacob. And we know that Esau sold his birthright, and we know how Rebecca, the mother, influenced the situation so that Jacob will get the blessing from his father, who cannot see. He was also blind, he cannot see. Then Jacob married 4 women, the 12 tribes of Israel. The name of Jacob was changed to Israel. The 2 sisters, Leah and Rachel. Leah was the one who gave birth to about 6 sons and 1 daughter, Dinah. So we just focus on sons here, so I did not mention about Dinah here. And Rachel, 2 sons, the most important one is Joseph. That is why when Joseph called his brothers, he was looking for Benjamin. Now he went and hugged Benjamin, because Benjamin was his blood brother. Now he always had this soft, because of the love for his younger brother. Bilhah gave 2 sons, Dan and Naphtali, Zilpah, Gad and Asher, Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. But Leah, 6 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar and Zebulun. Judah was not spoken much about, in that particular time, the way Joseph was mightily used by God. So all the eyes, even I was surprised when I started understanding more and more about this chapter. I was always thinking why the Lord did not choose the family line of Joseph, because Joseph's story is fantastic. He was sold by his brothers, raised by the Lord, became the next to the king. Jesus could have chosen the family line of Joseph because he is like a mighty example of God's work. But the Lord said, no, I'm going to Judah. Judah, he had to give birth to Tamar, and that is how the lineage started. Tamar had 2 children, Phares and Zerah, and through Phares, everything fulfilled. to the carnal eyes, how come Judah can give birth to his daughter-in-law? It's too carnal. It's too carnal to our eyes. And from mind's perspective, we may think Joseph is the true promised man of God through whom his word will be fulfilled. But God said no. Joseph, I know we have his wife Asenath, two children, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh, the birthright promises. So we remember these four people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Judah. Because Joseph is also very important. Judah. God always says in Bible, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. He always rejoices in identifying himself. Hey, I am the God of Abraham. See his faith. I am the God of Isaac. Look at his obedience. I am the God of Jacob. See how my 12 tribes, how my word is going to be fulfilled. He was rejoicing in himself. The same way Jesus said, I am the offspring of and the root of Jesse, from the root of Jesse, from David. But actually, Jesse is nothing but a father of David. When a son does something to glorify God, his father's name will also be glorified. Amen. Jesse's name was glorified because of what David did, because of what the Lord did through David. What is the father's name of Abraham? Terah. His name was also remembered in the Bible because he is the father of Abraham. Son glorifies his father, a living witness to the father. Amen. So let's go to the next slide. The lifespan, the significance of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then we go to the lifeline. So here we just discussed Judah, Tamar, Perez and Zara. And Joseph, we have Ephraim and Manasseh. And this family tree is not a family tree itself. God's word being fulfilled in generations. In generations, one generation to the other. One generation to the other. Like how we are in 7th church age now. Let's go to the next one. The lifetime, which we just want to close with the slides here. You can see the lifespan from Adam all the way to Noah. Then again, the descendants of Noah from Shem's children and all the way to Abraham. I just highlighted some persons so that we can just focus here. Adam lived up to 930 years, and his son Seth lived up 912 years. And Methuselah is the most lived human, as we see in the Bible, 969 years, almost a millennium. And Noah, he lived up 950 years before the flood and after the flood. And Abraham, 175 years. Moses, 120 years. Amen. So they had a limited lifespan, and they lived as the witness of the Lord, and they died, and the Lord used them mightily to fulfill his work. Oh, please proceed. So this is just for us to refresh our memories, how the Lord fulfilled the promise that was given to Abraham in generations. He didn't do it overnight. He took years. He took hundreds and thousands of years to fulfill everything, because he's a faithful witness. Amen. So now let's read Jeremiah chapter 42 verse 5.
So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness to us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you.
Amen. The God be the true and faithful witness to us. Because he is the only one who can be the true and the faithful witness to us. Romans chapter 3 verse 21 to 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Amen. God says, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. witnessed by the law and the prophets. The laws were given by the Lord to guide the people of Israel to walk in the right ways. And whatever happened, people who disobeyed the law, what happened to them? There was a witness. People who obeyed the law, what happened to them? There was a witness. And the prophets were also the witness of what the Lord did in the lives of his people. Now let's keep this and let's read Romans chapter 8 verse 16. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is a beautiful and powerful, simple verse, but it explains everything when we talk about testifying, witnessing the Lord in our life. Because the Bible says the Spirit beareth itself, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now we can understand, in the Bible when we read the Spirit, S caps, Holy Spirit. Amen. So when the Lord says, I am who I am the Alpha and Omega, which is, which was, which is to come, the Spirit itself beareth witness because no one can do. There was no one else beside God. He is the only Savior and there is no other God. So the Bible says, yes, the Spirit has to come and beareth witness itself. It doesn't stop there. It says, with our spirit, because the Lord has created us in His image and in His likeness, and He breathed His life into us, and we are created in the image of God. But because of our original sin, we shifted from the image of God. That is why in New Testament we say, the Lord Jesus Christ is the image of God that we all must conform to. He is the visible presence of the Almighty. Amen. So here it says, if you want to call yourself as a witness, a living witness, a faithful witness of the Lord, Romans chapter 8:16 should be reminded in our hearts. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That is the true witness that we can live in our life. Without Holy Spirit, our witness doesn't hold any value. Even we can heal people, we can cast out demons, but the Lord will say, I never knew you. That is the difference. The Holy Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, then we can kill our flesh, circumcise ourselves from the flesh, and tell the Lord, here I am, take my spirit, control me, and let thy Holy Spirit take complete control over me. Now we understand why the Lord says, for we do not know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will come and teach us how to pray with the vehement of Christ. The Spirit beareth witness itself with our spirit. Romans 8:16 is also beautifully linked to about how we pray in Ephesians 6. Now, let's remember this and read Matthew chapter 19, verse 18 to 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18 to 19. You see, Matthew and Luke, they have presented two different genealogies of Jesus Christ. One from the perspective of Solomon, one from the perspective of, you know, his son, another son, Nathan. We will also study how the family of David, from Jesse, from, you know, Judah's lineage, you know, it just goes all the way back and comes all the way down until we have the adopted father Joseph and the chosen carrier Mary. So in Matthew chapter 19 verse 18, we read this about lies and false witness. He said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. The above four commandments is also like the Ten Commandments. Do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery. The Lord says, do not bear false witness. Don't say, don't acknowledge of things that you are not justified in His Spirit, not in our spirit. In His Spirit, the Holy Spirit beareth witness itself with our spirit. Everything else, it is not our witness. It is not true witness. Amen. And we remember this false witness, and let's go and read Proverbs chapter 14 verse 5 about the warnings of us trying to be a witness and the lies that can come and haunt us. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 5. I read this. It says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A faithful witness will not lie, and a false witness will utter lies. It says, it's a matter of to whom you are being faithful of. As we started the sharing today, in a courtroom, a criminal will also have his witness to defend him. A criminal will also have his advocate to fight for his release. He will also have his audience to support him, to cheer for him. He may be seen as innocent by the world, but he may be judged to death by the Lord. We don't know. We are not here to judge anyone. But the Bible says, a faithful witness will not lie. A false witness will utter lies. Now, if we ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be a faithful servant, we cannot be a faithful servant if we are not a faithful witness. If we cannot witness Christ in our lives, in spirit, we cannot serve Him. Because no matter whatever the works are being carried out through us, God can still come and say, I never knew you. He can still carry out the works through you. Because when the spies entered the city, Rahab, when they destroyed everything, they came back with some vessels and they put the vessels back into the ark, in the camp. Remember? But those vessels were not made by the people of Israel. It was made by the enemy. But the Lord still said, it can be useful for you. Go and keep it sanctified. But the vessels are not made by the people of Israel. And Rahab was also saved because he was helping the spies. And she found life. So the Lord reminds us, a faithful witness will not lie. And in the last Friday sharing, we also studied this word of God, where I said, if someone say, I love God, but hated his brother, the Bible says he's a liar. How can I become a liar for hating my brother? Because the Lord says, I am love. If you hate someone that I can't be in you, then whatever he say, it is not truth. As simple as that. But what he, it is true, he didn't lie. He just hated his brother. But the Lord says, you are a liar. You cannot love me when you hate your brother. But because for God is love. So, a faithful witness needs to speak truth. And speaking the truth is how we live and how we witness Christ in our walk, in our lives. It can be a lie. Whatever we did all these years can be a lie if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, does not bear witness with our spirit. Amen. Let's read this. 1 John chapter 5 verse 9. 1 John chapter 5 verse 9. I will close in 5 minutes. We will continue next week. 1 John chapter 5 verse 9. I read, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. This is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. Everything was created for him, by him, in him. And who can witness that? He himself. And how he witnessed that? Through us. Now we understand what is the purpose of body of Christ. We are a walking, a living, a speaking, a praying, a preaching, a listening, a obeying body of Christ. When we say, Lord, please guide us, bless us, that we may bear the witness of thy Holy Spirit with our spirit until we are perfected. Until we are perfected. Amen. Only then we can say, I have a greater witness. Not the brothers who support me, not the brethren who likes me. We all can say, my Lord and Savior, He is my witness, and His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit, because I am denying myself, I am beating my flesh every single day. Every day when we do something for the Lord, when the flesh tells you go right side, and the spirit tells you go left, then you go left, and you say, Lord, your spirit beareth witness in my spirit, because I just defeated my flesh and I throw it on somewhere else. And when those two young men who were waiting for Abraham and Isaac to come back from the mountain, it was fulfilled, right? They came back. Abraham did not come back alone. He came back with his son. Isaac was never the same because he witnessed what happened in the mountain. And the two young people who were standing there, they were told, wait here, we are going to yonder and worship, we will come back. And what Abraham said, it was true, and they too witnessed it. In Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took three people and he said, watch and pray. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He went and he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came back and told them again, they slept. He went, he told them again, they slept. Why? It is a reminder, when the Lord called his disciples, when they were fishing, knitting their net in the seashore, the Lord said, Matthew, come and follow me. What happened? They left all at once and they followed Jesus. Amen? This is written very clearly in the Bible. Jesus did not go and tell him who he is. He did not tell him what is his plan. He did not preach. He did not witness. He said, come, follow me. And they left everything at once and they followed him. But when he said, watch and pray, they couldn't do it. Why? Because the flesh made them sleep. They could not bear witness in the Lord's spirit with that spirit and they slept. When they fell into sleep, it's a reminder, we might have started following Jesus just like that. But the Lord says, you will fall into sleep in the important time. Be watchful. Be sober. A faithful witness is who is available for the Lord to call our name anytime and we say, Lord, here I am. Don't ask anything. We don't ask anything, Lord, how it shall come to pass or who will bring it to pass. He will make it come to pass. He will bring it to pass. He will bring everything to make things to work together. It is none of our business. If we do something for the Lord, if we send some books to some other countries, we can't think, oh, how it is going to be distributed, who is going to read. It is none of our business. God tells us, do your work, print it, send it. God told Brother Gan, I will guide you, write it, print it. Then, the works of God will be carried out by God. When Nehemiah built the wall, we read, the enemies saw the wall built in 52 days. It clearly says, the enemies who don't have the Spirit of the Lord, who cannot bear witness to the Spirit of the Lord, the enemies who do not trust in God, they say, they perceive this work was wrought of God, not for God. Wrought of God means it was done by God. Even the enemies can see this is impossible for the people of who is working with Nehemiah. This is impossible that Nehemiah can do it. Whatever the oneness, like-minded with, it is impossible. They built the wall in 52 days because the enemies saw that and say it was done by God. That is how the Lord wants to work in our lives. He don't want us to become the Eliab, the taller, elder, stronger son. He wants to become the meek, low-esteemed David who is small, who is just doing his work somewhere until the Lord calls him, David, come. Samuel was reminded by the Lord, hey, I called you to replace Eli. You are in a very important position. Don't mourn for Saul. If I rejected him, trust me why I rejected him and I will prepare something to replace him because you are nothing but a replacement. Saul, who was persecuting Christians, replaced by another Saul who became a Paul who did everything opposite to what Saul was doing beforehand. That is why the Lord says, when you are a new creation, people may see you as the old brother Prasi, old brother Zoyal, old brother Infan, old brother Kati. But the Lord says, I don't see you that way. I see you, my precious dear son Kati, my precious dear son Zoyal, because you accepted me, my spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, you are not the same. We are here to live a life as a new creation, not the old creation. We are here to remind ourselves that there are false witnesses, there are lies, there are a lot of witnesses in this world who say, I testify Christ, I witness Christ, I was jobless, today I'm a director, I had no money, I had no family, now I'm full of family. These are not testimonies of the Lord. A faithful witness, the way Jesus lived, 30 years of utter silence, simple carpenter, supporting his family, doing what was supposed to be done, until his time come. He came forward, 3 years, did everything, shook the entire world, went to the Father, and seated at right hand, and waiting for all of us. That is called the faithful witness. Wait until the Lord comes and tells us, I am going to do this. Are you ready? We say,
yes.
Not how. Lord, here I am. Whatever it is. If the Lord says, I am going to take you home. Lord, here I am. Lord says, I am going to give you some disease. Lord, here I am. Lord says, I am going to spend the entire life for the next 40 years, but because of your witness, I will say only one person. Lord, here I am. And that one person could be Isaac, could be Abraham, could be Moses, could be David, who changed the entire course of humankind. We don't know. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. It's not about the capacity, it is about the capability. The Lord reminds us, be a faithful witness for me, because I am the faithful witness and I am willing to be a witness in you. So, I just want to close by saying few things very quickly. When I was praying about this last week, I was reminded when Brother Paul singing a song in this pulpit, throw me a lifeline. And I was sitting in the corner. I totally forgot about my two friends who died. One was killed, another was suicide. And the Lord reminded me, I throw you a lifeline. The other two didn't get. And I came and testified. So last few days when I was preparing this sharing, all of us are witness of the hand of God in your lives. You are your own witness. Amen. Then I started writing about what happened in my life very quickly. When I was studying primary 3, my friend, he was a fisherman. His father, he has few boats to go and fish. Because the place where I am from is in a seashore, I testified before. So my friend, he went with his father to work in the weekend to go for fishing in the deep sea. Because they are a poor family. And my father was my class teacher, who is also a teacher of my friend. We sit next to each other. I was a sports person in my school. He was playing with me. And we didn't see him in the school for a few days. And we later were informed that he went with his father for fishing in the deep ocean. You might have seen the news in India. When they cross the territory, the other country, they will shoot people assuming that they are threats to their safety. And they shot, you know, with a machine gun from their boat, Navy SEAL boat, and he and his father with his family members are fishing. Because of the heavy winds and storm, their boat crossed the territory and they did not see the marker. They could not see. It was late night, and because of the hatred between these two countries, they shot it at their boat, and he had a bullet in his chest. He and his father and the whole family, they died. When I say family, all the men of the family. So we came to know this, you know, that he was killed. Then my school, they organized a protest, kind of a peace. What do you call? You just go as a group on the main road with a banner that, you know, we want peace. You know, we lost our dear friend. And I was also, you know, in the crowd wearing a black shirt. I was just very small. If I'm P2, maybe 8, 10 years old, I don't remember. But I don't feel any much pain because I know him for a very short time. He was killed. There is no way I could save him because I was not with him. Few years later, when I was studying in a college, you could actually Google, it's still in the news. In 2009, there was a sensational douche in news in Chennai where I was studying. One student who just lived, I was in a hostel, he was staying one floor above, and he hanged himself, you know, in the room. And actually, I was in one floor below, exactly above my room. He was my senior, I don't know him, he's not my friend, but the whole hostel was filled with police, news media channels, because it was a very big news. The college is a very famous college. It's like one of the best colleges in South India. And we were all interviewed. Who do you know him? What happened to him? After a few weeks, they released the report, you know, in public. The article is still there in the website. They said this young man killed himself because he was punished by the head of department and he loved a girl and she rejected him on the same day. He had some severe stomach pain and he called his parents and he wanted to share his pain about he failed in the exam and the girl whom he loved, she also rejected him. He wanted to get some comfort from his parents, and his parents were living some other place because he was in hostel. They were also in some anger, frustration for some other reason, and they shouted at him saying that, why do you get the stomach pain every month like a woman, like a period? When they said that, this student, his friends were with him, he started shouting, crying, and his friends were trying to comfort him, And they told him, stay, we will go and buy food for you, you know, and wait. Me and my friends, we were all playing, you know, in the football field. It was the evening time. So when we came back, it was full of crowd and he hanged himself. And the other two friends, I testified when Brother Paul sang the song, one was killed because he became a hooligan, a gangster. He was killed and his twin brother killed the one who killed him. He's in jail now. So when you look at all of this, if I'm not standing here telling you all of this, then you wouldn't know. So I am a living witness of what happened in my own life. Whatever I said, if the Lord Spirit does not bear witness with me, then my witness is nothing. Now what is my witness? Is it like I did not die? Is it that I survived? No. In all those deaths, some deaths could have been avoided if they had a true friend in their lives. Some deaths could have been stopped if they really received Christ in their lives. Not the boat accident, it was killed by gun. But the one who hanged himself, one who became a gangster, could have lived a new life. Being a witness of Christ is not just witnessing Christ. The Lord will use us to save lives literally and also spiritually. So, when we realize, we remind ourselves that the Lord may strengthen us, guide us to appreciate why He revealed Himself to you. Why He revealed the truth to you where the whole world is chasing. Why He blessed you in spirit where the whole world is celebrating prosperity. Even there are big churches, thousands of people. Why? God wants to do some work at some point of time through us, through you, through me. And may the Lord use us to be His faithful witness. Only then we can say, Lord, I am a faithful servant. Then when the master come back and say, I am pleased, my faithful servant, because you witnessed me, not you did the works of me, because you witnessed me, anyone can do, preach, anyone can heal, anyone can cast out demons. The Lord said, I never knew you. So let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us that we may bear His witness in spirit by His spirit. Amen. So let's close the sermon and let's all stand, let's pray. Lord our God, great is Thy faithfulness. Your mercies endure forever. Lord, we thank You for this new day. Lord, we thank You that we are all standing here as a new creation. The way You transformed Saul into Apostle Paul, the way You taught the prophet Samuel, Ananias, Abraham, Isaac, Lord, thank You that You are also teaching us to understand the true purpose of we as one body of Christ. Why we gather and why we praise You, why we worship You and why we must grow in the knowing, the knowledge and the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to know Him more and more. Because, oh Lord, we want to stand firm as a faithful and true witness to our faithful and true Lord and Master, our God. Lord, we thank You that You called all of us. Lord, we thank You that Your Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. And Lord, here we are surrendering our ourselves, our everything, O Lord, that may Thy Holy Spirit overpower ourselves, that we may be completely under the influence of Thy Holy Spirit, O Lord. We may get up every day and beat our flesh, deny our flesh, that we may take up our cross and follow Thee, O Lord. Lord, we thank You for the words of life that we receive today. Lord, we pray for Thy grace and mercy as we, Lord, going to celebrate the baptism of our dear brother Elijah. Lord, as a church, as a congregation, as a family of God, we all lift up our hands and bless our dear brother Elijah, O Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's all lift up our hands and bless our dear brother Elijah, that may the Lord guide him, may the Lord bless him, strengthen him, help him to increase his knowledge and wisdom spiritually, that he may walk in Thy word closely, humbly, that he may live a life as a living witness, as a faithful witness for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, we thank You for his life, we thank You for the family of Brother Raleigh. It's such a wonderful blessing when the when our dear brother Rolly sees the fulfillment of the word, if you believe, you and your household shall be saved. Oh Lord, we thank you for the fulfillment of thy words in our dear brother life. And Lord, we all celebrate this as one God's family.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for everything. And we bless thy holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.